I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's happiest podcast network.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George DeMorelis. This is a show where we ask you what's your story and what does it say about you. With me today, we have radio presenter Michael Billings. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, legend. How you doing, man? Good to be on.
I'm good. Thank you for the legend. That's a positivity I didn't even know I needed.
That is exactly why I do it, because no one doesn't like being called legend. They're like, thank you. I needed that today.
Yeah. Okay, so you've gotten that. Well, you know what? I feel less special now.
Sorry about that. Okay. See, that's why I don't usually do the follow-up, just the first bit.
Yeah, exactly. Now you've totally taken away everything. I thought I was special. I thought I was your legend, Michael.
I've shown you behind the curtain.
How could you? I feel used. My trust is broken.
I'll get it back for you, man. I'll get it back. Don't worry.
I look forward to it. Can't wait for what else you're going to call me then. Just keep, you know, I don't care. Call me legend. I need it right now. I'm still in quarantine. You know, I need this stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm in Bendigo. So we just found out today that a lot of restrictions are getting eased. So I'm sorry you're in Melbourne and things still kind of suck, but things are about to get a bit better for the rest of us regional Vic people.
Yeah, but like, you know, you're still in Bendigo.
Yeah, I'll take an open Bendigo over a closed Melbourne, man. I've lived there before.
I actually agree with you. Yep. I've done a couple of gigs where I've gone up to Bendigo. It's good. It's cool up there. It's a big, like, it's a fun vibe. I
absolutely love Bendigo. Like, this is a place where when I got into radio, this is where I actually wanted to end up. Like, I love that, like, in town, it's got, like, your trendy cafes and good pubs and that sort of stuff, and it doesn't take long, and you're in, like, super rural, like, gum trees, and like, for me to walk to the supermarket, I go past sheep, horses, alpacas, and sometimes cows, and like, it's a 1500 meter walk.
Alpacas?
A couple of different paddocks with alpacas in them, and I'm not out on like a farm or something. I'm in a suburb. Like, that's Bendigo.
Did you grow up in like a farm sort of thing, or where'd you grow up?
Yeah. I grew up in a little town called Hopetoun in the middle of the Mallee. It's like middle of nowhere, 700 people, or there were 700 people when I was there. I think it's even lower these days. But like, it's the sort of place where the closest, we would drive an hour and a half to go to McDonald's and that sort of stuff. When you get your license in that sort of place, it's like, cool, everyone load up and let's go get some cheap booze, or let's go get Macca's. Or if you want to go to a nightclub when you turn 18, then yeah, same deal. You're looking at least an hour and a half to go to Horsham, or 2 hours to Mildura.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love hearing this stuff, because it's so different to my entire upbringing.
Yeah.
So that's like deep country town. So what is that like? How many, was there a lot of kids around, or was it not that many?
So the high school I went to had about 120 people, and my graduating year 12 class had 14.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Jesus, that everyone is going to be very close with everyone else. That is an incestuous group.
It really is. One time, this was after I'd moved away, after I turned 18, so I must have been 19 or 20, and I went to visit some guys I went to high school with, and they both had girlfriends at the time, and then I went back again like 6 months later. And same people, same house, they just swapped girlfriends. And like that, it was really bizarre. I'm like, wait, so what's happening now? Who's in whose room?
I love the, like, everyone involved in that is hilarious.
Yeah.
Everyone.
It's a great little place though.
Man, you just know what they've gotten up to after a few drinks one night.
Yeah, that's it.
There is zero question of that. That might have been how it started.
They skipped keys in a bowl and just went, let's do it.
Yeah. And like, actually, I think I had more fun over there. Like, same here. All right, yeah. Let's just switch it over. Okay.
Yeah. No, but I loved my upbringing. I loved growing up in the country. It was really good.
Yeah. Did you do the whole like riding motorbikes and things like that?
No. See, my parents were teachers. So I grew up in town. Like, I had a lot of friends who were farmers, and so you'd go out and hang out with them. And yeah, they've all got the motorbikes, and they know how to drive at seven and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And but I grew up, town kid. Absolutely nothing like that.
I love it. It's like town kid in a town.
Yeah,
in a town of 700.
Yeah, I was the city kid. I grew up on the on the main street.
The street, you know.
The street, the one street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's cool. So like but then you left there. Did you leave there to pursue radio related things or just in general?
Not for a little while. I got into radio a little bit later than, when I say later than most, I think I was 27. But like before that, first I went to Ballarat to go to uni because like that was just always the plan. You just go to university, and I discovered pretty quick that that wasn't for me. So then I moved to Melbourne. I got a traineeship at a school there, just fixing computers and doing some multimedia, that sort of stuff. And so then I was in Melbourne for 8 years, I think. Did a few things, like I said, at the school, and then I was a lifeguard for a bit, and I worked at a video shop for a bit, and worked in a call center for a bit, and yeah, that's when radio hit after that.
All right, so like you just kind of fell into it a little bit, or you just kind of looking around at what you wanted to do, and then you kind of found this?
It was one of those things that I'd always thought about doing and always wanted to do, but you know, you've never got the time, you never got the money. But then I worked for Crazy John's. That was a call center I worked for, and so I don't know if you remember that brand.
It's you're doing like a whole very niche but very well known retro upbringing here between Crazy John's and working in a video store. It's
yeah.
Like, There's a bunch of stuff you're saying right now. A lot of people wouldn't even know what it is.
Yeah, okay. So Crazy John's, for those that don't know, was a mobile phone retailer, and they no longer exist, which is part of my story because we all got made redundant and all our jobs went overseas. So all of a sudden I had that time and money that I didn't have before. And so I did a little radio course and then, tried to crack the industry. It took about a year and a half, but then a gig came up in Broome. So that was my first step, Melbourne to Broome.
Yeah, yeah. So I should have actually said at the start. So in terms of where you grew up, firstly, Wally, whatever, that region, where is that it specifically? Is that still in Victoria, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Mallee is northwest Victoria. Yeah.
Northwest Victoria.
Yeah.
All right. So that's where you were, pretty deep in that area. Like, how far is that from Melbourne?
I guess, 4.5 hours.
Okay, yes, yeah. That's deep. That is,
yeah.
I love 4.5 hours. In Europe, that's like 16 countries away.
Yeah.
But
oh, wait, I'm about to move to WA in the story. Trust me, mate, it's going to get a lot further between the places.
That's why I wanted to clarify. Yeah, yeah, because you've gone from there and then you've gone to Broome, which is far north WA.
Yeah, it's funny because like when I was first trying to get into radio, like I set myself like a little thing. Like I wanted to be within like 400 kilometers of Melbourne because I still loved being in Melbourne. And I wanted to be able to visit and all that sort of stuff.
It's going to be nice and close, 400 kilometers.
Yeah, that's it. I'm like, I'm a country kid. That's an afternoon's drive. It's fine. But then as the jobs don't come, your radius just starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, so when Broome came up, I'm literally like measuring on a map and I realized that you can't get further from Melbourne than Broome. Like Darwin is closer, Perth is closer, Broome is as far as you get.
You literally, like that's, your circle couldn't have gone wider unless you got a job
on an oil rig. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. That's intense. I do find it because my first job when I came out of uni was in Sydney, which is not the same. But that idea of moving, but you'd already kind of covered that because you obviously left home and you'd been living in Melbourne for so long. Was it still weird to like, did you have like to pack up? Did you have a missus? Did you have all that stuff to take with you? Or did you just kind of...
So moving to Melbourne was really easy for me because we'd been going there my whole life. Like we've had family there. My mum's sister lives there. My dad's brothers lived there. So we'd been going 3 or 4 times a year. So moving to Melbourne was nothing. Moving to Broome, like selling all your stuff. I didn't have a missus at the time. So that was, it was pretty easy to like just sell all my old secondhand share house crap that has no value at all and go there. But actually that part's easy, but like the actual moving your life to a place that you don't know anyone, new job, It's, I'm sure I don't need to tell you, there's a lot of differences between Broome and Melbourne. So yeah, it was a real culture shock.
Yeah, that's a, so funnily enough, I do know a little bit about Broome because a cousin of mine, she married a chef and they spent like 10 years traveling all around the world. They had like the dream couple sort of thing because he was a chef and she would pick up jobs and they would literally spend like 6 months in different countries and they did that for 10 years together. So like one of those storybook almost things where they got married, they had kids, and even the kids, they would still travel and like set up shop. And eventually they did settle, and they actually settled, weirdly enough, where they stayed for a long time was Broome.
That's honestly not an it's not an uncommon story, man. So many people will just be traveling and they just fall in love with the joint and just like, oh, this is the spot for us, and they just stay there. You hear it, you hear that story a lot in Broome. I don't know what it is about the joint. Like, I loved the place, but I never had long-term plans there.
Yeah, I think part of it is as well, I think the pay was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I think that's part of it as well. So he's got like a nice lifestyle and you get to save up a lot of money. I don't think they were there planning to be there long term. They've moved on from there now. But yeah, they would always go back there every year. So I think that was part of it as well. So I do know a little bit.
It's a gorgeous spot. And like in radio, you can get your first job, you can get sent to some real shit kicker towns. Like you can get sent to the back of absolute Burke. So while Broome was a long way away, it actually, the place itself, gorgeous. You could end up in such worse spots. So I was pretty lucky on that front to end up in a tourist destination.
Yeah, exactly. Like as in, and it's it's nice. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Like as in, you're not in some deep outback sort of dust bowl where you just can't see anyone and there's four people there in one pub, and yeah, like Broome's people actually want to go there.
It's a lot easier to be sad and homesick on Cable Beach in the middle of July than somewhere cold and wet and frozen. So yeah, so it was that part was pretty sweet.
Hey, okay, let me hold up there for a second. Don't go ragging on cold and frozen, all right? Well, it's cold and frozen is where it's at. More dry and dusty.
It's funny because like when I did 2 years in Broome, and then after that I did 5.5 years in Mildura, so another warm spot, and then I got to Bendigo and had winter, and I'm like, oh, I forgot what winter was like. Like it gets proper cold at night in winter. So yeah, I had flashbacks to being on trams with wearing scarves and jackets, and yeah, it all came rushing back.
Like an animal. Ugh, yeah. Scarves and jackets. Outrageous.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Broome doesn't have winter. Like, I was wearing boardies and a singlet in the middle of June, middle of July.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I don't know. It's too hot. I like the cold.
Honestly, man, I'm the same. When I was moving there, people were like, oh, Broome, oh, you must love the heat. I'm like, no, I sweat like a lot. And they're like, oh, well, at least you like the beach. I'm like, no, not really. It's like sandy and salty and like... I like being beach adjacent. I like being able to see the beach.
Yeah. Okay, that's very niche, but I can respect that. I'm like, at least like surely to dive in and leave, like not even to just go in the water a little bit.
I'll do that, but I sometimes wish there was like a nice sandless path back to the car park so that when I was done, I could just be like, here we go. Now I'm not sandy. I know I'm weird. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's... Yeah, no, you are. I'm sorry. I thought it would take longer to figure out what's freaky about you. Ugh. No, you should try like, what about the rock? This is such a tangent now, but yeah, the rock beaches. You know, have you done stone pebble beaches?
I have. I went to Port Hedland, which is about 6 hours away from Broome. And like, yeah, let's go down the beach. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, I'm being spoiled by how good Cable Beach is. And they take me to this, it looked like a mining site that happened to be next to the water. And yeah, it was... It was bad.
So you're just against beaches in general. You just want water straight up to land.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm definitely an inland sort of person.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you've just gone deep inland in Bendigo, so that's all right. How long have you been in Bendigo for now?
Been here for 18 months now. Yeah.
All right. And you're loving it. You're setting up shop.
Nah, very much so. Like, yeah, when this job came up, I really wanted to get here because, like, my mum lives here, which is cool, but, like, it's Melbourne adjacent. We can still get to Mildura to see my wife's family pretty easily, and it's a real nice spot. I really like Bendigo.
All right. Nice. So you mentioned a wife. Is that from Mildura or from...
Yeah, I met her in Mildura after I'd been there about a year and a half. And yeah, really just hit it off from the get-go. And so we've got a two-year-old now. We've been married for 2.5 years. She's the absolute best. Like, she was, and she basically just, she hates me telling this story. She basically just slid into the DMs, just added me, and I messaged her and just like, have we met? And she's like, no, just heard you're on the radio. And then nothing for 6 months or so. What? Yeah, nothing for 6 months or so. And then I can't even remember how the next step happened. Yeah. She's thirsty. Yeah.
You didn't have to do anything. You're just chilling.
Oh, I had to do a little bit, but you're right.
If she don't didn't... try to claim it now, my friend. I'm sorry. You did nothing.
If she didn't slide into that DM, then yeah, this might not have happened.
That's hilarious. I love that. That's
yeah.
I would love more DM sliding in, to be honest. That's takes a lot of the stress out.
It really does. Well, now we've got a 2-year-old and we're 3 months away from having a newborn.
Oh, how very 2020 of you. I think everyone on the planet who's a couple is basically pregnant.
Ours was planned, and it was pre-COVID plans, all right? I'm putting that out there. I'm going to make sure I tell our kid, though, that anyone who's, like, at least a month younger than this child was an accident. Mm-hmm. Like, completely unplanned. It was a COVID baby.
Well, no, see, okay, look, I don't have a... I'm not that, but I've seen a lot of people who maybe they brought it forward. I don't know about the accident completely. But they're more like, what are we going to do? Let's just have a kid.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Yeah. yeah, you might be
on the attitude of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's really nice, though. So, yeah, really setting up shop there in Bendigo.
Yeah. No, it's you definitely got long-term plans here, like the joint.
Yeah. So, is that like... to go in the nitty-gritty of radio for a second, does that mean like your intention now, like what are you hosting right now there in Bendigo?
So it's been a bit of a weird year because at the start of the year I was doing Workday on Triple M, so that's 9 till 12, and then there was an opportunity to fill in on Hit FM Breakfast, so I was doing that for about 3 months, and then those roles got made redundant, so now I'm doing Hit Workday between 9 and 12. So yeah. I've been a bit everywhere this year, but... have landed with a stable job.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because like, I'm interested in the structure of that, because like, so the idea is then you just slowly, just stay there and establish yourself kind of there. Is it just you hosting that time, or you got co-host?
So while I was filling in on Breakfast, I had a co-host, but they decided to get rid of the local Hit Breakfast shows, and we now have one big one show coming out of Albury for all of Country Vic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. That's I don't know. I love the idea of when it's more localized, because I think that's something which doesn't happen enough anymore in a lot of things. That's
I honestly agree with you. I love the Albury show we've got on. It's Tim and Jess coming out of Albury. They're friends of mine. I've known them for years. But I do. I love local breakfast, and I love doing it as well. That's what I was ultimately hoping to do. But but I still get to be local, and I still get to be on the radio. I just get to sleep in a little bit more.
Heh, which is a plus, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I actually just experienced this recently, because I've been living down in Mornington Peninsula, mm-hmm. and hearing the Mornington radio there, that's when I was like, oh, I love this. I love the fact that it's like a different, just local to this area sort of thing. All the ads are like stores around the corner and stuff. It's the best.
Yeah, it is different being in the country. Like, I mean, you're in Melbourne, so you've still got your Triple M's and your Foxes, and it's all Melbourne, but it's just, everything's just a bit bigger. So, like, I lived in Maribyrnong for a bit while I was there, and you're still hearing ads for St Kilda or Frankston. You're like, I don't go that far away. I don't know these businesses. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know these guys. I'm on a first name basis. I want to be on a first name basis with the people that are advertising to me. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
That's it, man. That's it.
Yeah. I want it tailored. That's nice. That's true.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I love hearing this stuff because, like, obviously, yeah, completely different upbringing. And it's a whole world that is here in Australia that I think a lot of people, especially in the bigger cities, might not be aware of, like this regional sort of upbringing. And then I'm guessing a lot of people maybe move away, but then a lot of them actually end up heading kind of back, maybe not to the same town, but to country towns, so sort of, because they love it. Growing up.
Most definitely. Like, I know a lot of country people that I met in Melbourne, and they sort of do a bit of time there, and then wherever work takes them, or they decide, you know what, I can get the same house for 150 grand less or something like that if I just move to this spot. And yeah, it's a bit of a common thing.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, growing up, I was always like, city's the best, but now I totally understand the idea of like space.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
Quiet's pretty sweet, yeah.
Yeah, huge fan. Don't get me started on quiet, mate. It's not enough of it.
I went to Melbourne like one time last year, and I hadn't been in a little while, and I was just over from Crown there on South Bank, and there was trams, and there was people yelling, and all of a sudden I realised, wow, I'm a real tourist here. I have not lived here in a long time.
like in a movie, the volume would be real turned up on the horns and stuff. You're like, you're like, ah,
that's, talking. That's it, man.
Nice. Well, I guess we should, we'll jump around into stuff as well as we go, but let's, how about we hear about your book of choice for today? What have you gone with?
I have gone with a book that I hadn't read in a while, but I was so excited when you hit me up because it gave me a chance to get out again. I've gone with Nicholas Pileggi's Wise Guy, which is the movie, which is the book that the movie Goodfellas is based on, one of my favorite movies in the world, and the book is awesome. I love it.
That's did you read the book first or the movie?
No, I saw the movie. I can't remember when I first saw the movie, but I remember instantly loving it, and then when I sort of, found out, oh, it's based on a book, I should check that out as well. And, yeah, the movie is just so, the movie is really accurate. Like, they've obviously had to trim bits out of it, but it's not one of those ones where you're like, oh, the book is so much, but they destroyed it in the movie. It's not. The movie's great and the book's great as well.
That's good to hear. I was actually, because I haven't read the book, but I looked up a few of the things to do with the movie, and it does sound like it's actually pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that one of the biggest things that happens in the book and the movie as well is the Lufthansa robbery, the heist that where they steal all this money. They steal like $5 million in untraceable cash from the airport. And it's a massive thing. And in the book, they do blow by blow how they did it. And it's seriously like Ocean's 11, GTA 5 style heist. But in the movie, they basically show them having a few discussions about it. And then all of a sudden, it's just Henry hearing that it's happened in the shower. Like, they don't show any of it. And it's one of those things that during the movie, it doesn't strike you as odd. But when you're reading, like, this would have looked really good in a movie. Like,
I guess it's the classic, like, is it needed for the story that they're trying to tell?
Yeah, and I guess it wasn't. They didn't, Henry Hill, the main character, wasn't there. So they don't need to show it.
Yeah, exactly. That's because to clarify, it's a non-fiction. This is stuff that happened.
This is based on a real guy, Henry Hill, who, like the movie shows, started hanging around with these guys when he was an early teenager and just started hustling with them and stayed in organized crime his entire life until basically he was painted into a corner by the police and had to flip on all his friends and ratted out everyone for his own freedom.
And is the book from, he didn't write the book, did he?
It's a journo who wrote the book, but it is completely like in conjunction with, like, Henry Hill apparently wasn't the most eloquent bloke and he wasn't real big on writing, as he'd stopped going to school at about 13 to be a gangster. So a lot of it is excerpts of conversations that they've had and then this journo putting it all together in a coherent book. But again, like the movie, it cuts between, this is Henry saying this verbatim, here's his wife talking about it, and so on.
It's a crazy story. Like, as in, it's, iconic. Does it go into his feelings of betrayal about having a flip on everyone? Is that a thing?
Well, you'd think it would have, but he's really nonchalant about it, to be honest. It's like, because it's all just business to all of them. Like, they really don't get into their feelings all that much. You'll hear him talking about, like, they had to whack somebody. They had to murder someone. And it's just business. It's not like, oh, but what about their kids? What about their wife? What about your own conscience? Like, none of that comes up. So when it comes to, oh, they've got me, I'm going to jail forever, my only way out is to tell them about this heist, to tell them about these murders, all that sort of thing, that he's just like, it's business. I'm looking out for number one. And sorry, guys that I've partied with, that have been to my house, that have been to my wedding, if it's at the price of you guys, that's business. It's really bizarre. Like, it's a real window into another world.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me because to go mentioning another book now, I don't know, The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
That movie that came out, that was based on a book, and it was, the book was fine. It's just basically a guy trying to talk about how much of a cool drug addict he is. Mm. He's a stockbroker. It's like, you're not a rock star, mate. Take it easy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
But it's interesting because the book went out of its way almost to kind of show how little of he didn't give a fuck about anyone when he flipped at the end. He's like, just didn't care. Just straight away, just went with it. And the movie went out of its way for some weird reason to just go in the other direction. And considering it was Scorsese as well, to really highlight that he was trying to help his mates out, that he wasn't trying to dog it. It was a very interesting choice that the movie made compared to the book because like, obviously, it makes the character more relatable if he cares about dogging everyone. And I actually can't remember if the movie of Goodfellas did that as well. Or framed it like
not really.
A difficult choice.
The movie literally shows him like in court and they're like, is the man who did this in the court right now? And he just without any emotion on his face, just points out to Robert De Niro's character. He's like, yeah, he's just there. That's him. And it is that simple. It's also funny, I feel like. And I count myself in this, it's easy to forget, and Wolf of Wall Street might be a bit like this. I love the whole movie and the whole book just to show this lifestyle, and I think it's easy for people to get swept up in that, but the punchline being that everyone either died or went to jail. It's almost like Scarface. People love Scarface and like, oh, look at all the cool stuff he does. Forgetting the punchline that he dies. And I think Wolf of Wall Street's like that. It's like, oh, look at all this great stuff. It's like, yeah, he went to jail. Yeah, that's the punchline to this whole thing.
That's what actually makes Wolf of Wall Street a bit weird because it's like it is they wrote about it at the time, the fact that it's one of the first movies now they're really just gone. They're like, you don't get punished for being a dog anymore. Like, as in this guy went to prison for some nothing for 3 years. It was like a camp, and then he's come out and he's a motivational speaker now, and people are paying so much, and he's got Leonardo DiCaprio acting as him. Which is like, that stuff's okay, but I always found it so strange, the decision to actually lie and make him a better person than he really is, because that's a weird choice to do from a movie's point of view. It's like, why not show how he's a dog, but you kind of like him? It seems like a cop-out to actually fake him being a
nice person. My guess is that he was an executive producer on it and he had stipulations on how he was portrayed. You watch a movie like Straight Outta Compton about NWA and you're like, oh, wow, they're really making these guys, they're really admitting these guys' faults. And then you look at all the executive producers, it's like, oh, Ice Cube and Dr. Dre are the executive producers. That's why you don't see Dr. Dre beating his partners because he had final say on it.
That is, that's going to color things. That's why.
Yeah. So, sometimes it pays to have a look at who's writing the checks, and I reckon The Wolf of Wall Street might have had, Jordan Belafonte? Belfort, sorry. Maybe he was one of the exec producers.
I think he definitely was. The fact that he was in the movie as well kind of indicates that too.
Yeah, that'd be my guess then.
Yeah. All right, so why do you, I guess a few questions. Firstly, why do you think this is your favorite book? Actually, do you read much in general?
I love to read. I don't get heaps of time to read. That's the problem I sometimes face. You know, just like life just gets in the way between work. And like I said, I've got a 2-year-old and a wife. So sometimes you just don't find the time.
Look, it's a common. Yeah. It's very common.
But
because even if you do have the time, you'd rather just sit there and veg out.
Well, that's the other thing. If I do get my own time, it's like, I can watch one of my shows, or I can play the Xbox, or I'm so easily distracted by technology. If I go on holidays, that's when I get to read a lot.
Yeah.
But I do like to read. I I was a bit worried when I was hit up to come on the podcast with you, because the stuff I read is kind of dumb. Like, it fits into like a few categories of like rock biographies, hip hop history, and bikey gangs being infiltrated by police. And I'm like, I don't really want to talk about any of these things because they're going to make me sound dumb. So that's why I was like, oh, wise guy, that's a good one. I'll do that.
That's hilarious. Because it's fine. If that's what you like, then that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. I wasn't going to judge you.
Yeah, and the occasional comic book as well. Yeah, just like I said, not heaps of what I wanted to talk about, but yeah, they're the ones I love. I've literally got going on at the moment a cop infiltrating the Hell's Angels. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. This is me.
Is Hell's Angels here and in America? Is this one based here in Australia, or is it?
The one I'm reading is based in America. Is there Hell's Angels in Australia?
I don't know how big they are, but they're definitely here. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I've driven past the house that has like it's got a whole setup.
Yep.
Gates and things. I've always been like, I just see bikes there all the time.
Only got fantastic things to say about those neighbors, I'm sure.
Of course.
Real nice guys. Absolutely. Whatever
handsome,
they need.
Some statuesque sorts whenever I drive past. Yes. Proud visage. Yes. No, all hands beautiful. Yeah. Well spoken.
Yeah. In summary, yes, I do love to read. I just sometimes have a bit of trouble finding the time. But now that I'm back on work days, so when you're on breakfast, you do your show in the morning, get in, I'd get in at like 5, we're on air at 6, get off air at 9, then you start planning the next day. Like, you might not take a break because you just want to get the work done, because then you can go home. And generally, if I go home, I'll have a quick lunch and go to sleep and then be ready to be a human again. On work day, I get in at 8, I'm on air at 9 till 12, but then I have a lunch break. So I actually do use that time because I'm at work, so I don't have the Xbox there, and I've got the time and no distractions. So now that I'm back on work day, I'm getting back into reading, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah. I know what it can be hard to find the time for stuff. Like, I don't have, so that's why I'm single, man. You got to be single, no kids, plenty of time to read. No one to talk to about it, but plenty of time to read.
I'm glad I got my, and I say this for me, I'm not saying this for anyone else, I'm glad I got my selfish years out of the way so that I could just be like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to watch 10 hours of television and no one's going to tell me otherwise. Because you don't do that anymore. Not when you got kids. That stops.
Yeah, I don't know if I can let that go, man. To be honest, just personally.
I like those selfish years.
Let them keep rolling, baby.
Yeah.
Let them keep rolling.
Yeah.
Okay, so what... So that's, yeah, so you do read a bunch of other stuff. So, but why do you think this particular book stood out for you then as an option?
I think it's just one of those ones that, like, I really like being able to see into a world that I know nothing about. Like, something that's completely foreign to me. There's another book that I like. It's called Monster, and it's by an LA gang member. Something that I'm a white dude from Hopeton. I don't know anything about that. But to hear this guy talk about like how he got in, what he did while he was in the gang and that sort of stuff, it's like, wow, people like this exist. Or hearing about, like I said, cops infiltrating bikie gangs and the culture that's around that is just completely foreign to me. So I think these guys, this traditional mafia family, essentially, where this guy has got access to all levels of it, is just... I just find it really mind-blowing just seeing behind that curtain, I guess.
Yeah, and obviously it's got that crime focus as well, which makes it pretty interesting to kind of see as well, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting. Did you have a – does that crime element mean anything more than just like, you know, it's cool to read, or did you have anything like that growing up? Maybe you had mates who were in kind of gangs like that or anything like that?
Nah, absolutely nothing. And maybe that's what it is. I've had a pretty clean cut life, and like I said, it's a pretty small town, so not a lot of gang activity going
not
on.
Not gang activity like that, but
not a lot going on the mean streets of Hopeton. Absolutely not.
No drug cartels, eh? No cocaine.
Not that I'm aware of. No, it was, and that's probably it again. Like, I didn't experience anything until I got to Melbourne and like started hanging out with different people. And like, it's just, I've come from the whitest place in the world, basically, and there's just nothing going on. There's, I won't say nothing going on, but, you know, like, not a lot of crime going on.
Lots of sunsets, I get it.
Yeah, that's it. There's absolutely nothing like, oh, I would have been able to do that better or anything like that. It's just morbid curiosity more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Like I said, I mean, the entire serial killer podcast explosion is, I don't think all the people listening to it want to be serial killers. So yeah.
I'd like to think not. Last night I was actually watching, I remembered I had, did you ever see the ESPN series 30 for 30 where they did like mini sports docos?
Yeah, I've seen one,
okay.
Which was a tragic, tragic one. The guy who was in Rocky V, the boxer who was like...
Oh, yeah, Tommy Machine Gun, whatever his name was. Yeah, Tommy. The one I watched
It's amazing, that one. That's better than any TV show almost. Like, it's tragic and heartfelt and it's beautiful. But yeah, which one are you talking about?
The one I watched last night was Henry Hill, the guy from the book. He had a point shaving scheme with the University of Boston, and that was what ended up taking down the Robert De Niro character in Goodfellas. Like, they couldn't get Jimmy Burke on anything until they noticed that when they were interviewing Henry, he kept saying about these trips to Boston he was doing, and the way they put it was he was committing that many crimes and it was that ingrained in his lifestyle that he didn't actually realize what he was doing was if it was or wasn't a crime. So he's like, oh yeah, no, we're going to Boston. It was part of a point shaving thing. And they're like, wait, what do you mean? And he says, oh, I was with the University of Boston and we were fixing games. The guy who's interviewing him was going to that university at the time that he was talking about. And so he's ready to jump the table because he's screwing with his university's basketball team. And
that's hilarious.
But he just said it so like just off the cuff. He's like, oh yeah, no, we were doing that, not realizing that no, that's a big crime. And that was what they ended up getting Jimmy Burke for, was this point shaving scheme, because they couldn't get him on murders or this $1 million heist they'd done.
Messing up with university betting.
Yeah, with basketball games at a university. Yeah, they could get him on nothing else, but they had this testimony, and they went and lent on the players that they were in on with, and everyone flipped basically, and that was how they were able to get him, and this guy ended up dying in jail.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. No, that's definitely a relic from the past. People, no one gets punished anymore. Everyone gets away with it.
Yeah, that's it. But speaking of relics from the past, like you see, like some of the schemes they're doing in this book, they just don't. You couldn't do it anymore just because of all the systems and checks and balances in place. Like, just things like that I talk about, they used to just love stealing stuff from the airport. And like with the security these days, I mean, with cameras alone, you just couldn't get away with any of it. They'd do credit card fraud, like just like it was going out of fashion. They just get some blank credit cards, buy as much stuff as they could for a couple of days, and then sell it all at whatever because it doesn't matter. It's all a profit. They'd rent trucks in with fake IDs and go buy cigarettes in cheaper states and skip the taxes and bring them all back. Like, they always had stuff going on, but so much of it you'd never be able to do again just because of the technology in place. Like, it must be hard to be a gangster these days.
Ah, I've thought about that. Well, it's just like, it's impossible. You can't. Like, but think how easy it was back then. You could just write fake checks.
Yeah, yes. Things just like that.
Piece of paper.
They do all that sort of stuff. And they're just like, oh, I know a guy. And you, even in movies, you're watching, they're like, oh, putting a fake ID. And they're basically just sticking a photo on a different license. And you're like, is that all that counted for a fake ID back in the day?
Yeah, these guys had it so easy.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
I'm over here earning no money and these guys are just printing money because it's easy.
Yeah, modern day sucks. Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, no, woe is me. I can't be a criminal because technology stops me. Everyone's heart bleeding for me.
I know, exactly. At least we can listen to some podcasts about criminals.
That's it.
That's almost as good. Okay, let's see if we... Okay, how about a few more things to go with this? So the gangster side of things is cool. Have you actually read any other stuff mafia related? Did you go into that sphere much or not really?
Not really. No, this is the main mafia one that I like. I like a bit of true crime, but geez, if you were to press me for another true crime book right now, I would be struggling. This is probably the only one that I've read in the mafia in the mafia territory. Yeah.
Yeah. It's there. Like, I got a mate who loves it. He is tangentially related to that world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of helps him be hooked on it. But I think it really appeals to him a lot of the, he's Italian as well. So I think he loves the whole, the honor and the respect and all that stuff that's kind of intertwined into these stories. Yeah.
I recently bought a biography of John Gotti, so I'm looking forward to reading that one. So that's a little connected, but yeah. But I half the reason I've bought it is because I know nothing about him, and I think it's going to be interesting as hell.
Yeah. So I guess I just thought of that with the Italian thing. So your backgrounds are pretty much true blue, thoroughly Aussie.
Yeah, just boring skip. You know, Scottish, Irish, English, all that sort of.
Sometime back in the foggy past.
Yeah, so. That's it. My family's been here like 200 years or something. I think depending on who you ask, I don't think we were over here on the criminal ships, but you never know. We might have been.
But the ones just after that.
Yeah, that's right. We were on the second wave. Yeah, the good ones, the law-abiding citizens. That's us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's such an interesting different lifestyle to like, yeah, because I'm Greek. Both my parents came here from Greece, so I'm as fresh as you are old, kind of, in terms of placement here. So I guess, does that – so your culture, you white people and your culture.
Oh, let me tell you about white culture, all the things we stole from everyone else.
Yeah. it's funny because, aspects of it, which might be exactly the same, I don't know. Like, even the concept of the – obviously with the mafia, you see this family side of things, this honor, respect stuff. Like, is that something you saw much, you dealt with much growing up, or is that something which doesn't really, I don't know. Does that vibe at all with where you're from? With you people?
What do you mean you people? No, I guess we still, you had the respect and all that sort of stuff for your family, but I think it was more just a polite thing. It was just as much just respect your elders than a family sort of thing.
Just respect? What do you mean? Hey, yeah. It's just like, you know, one of your mates you respect. Your parents, your mates. Like, no.
Yeah, nah. I cannot attest to that all that much. Like, we grew up pretty close with our cousins and our uncles and aunties and all that sort of stuff. But to the level of these guys, And being part of a family, the crime family for these guys is, I've done a crime and I need to kick some of that up the hierarchy. So I need to make sure that this guy gets it and this guy controls the airport, so he gets a cut of that as well. Like I said, it's such a foreign concept to me. I'll be like, wait. So I just put my neck on the line to do this crazy crime and you want to take how much every time I do this just for... Yeah, righto. Okay. Yeah, no, that's interesting.
Oh, my God. You're so white.
I wouldn't have lasted a day.
Nah. It's like, what about me? Nah, mate, I do not think that's right, all right? I stuck me neck out, so you're not getting nothing.
That's it. Like, I'm straight and I still pay taxes, and that annoys me enough. If I was a criminal and I still had to pay tax to someone, I think I'd be really annoyed.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Okay. Right. Well, that's because, I mean, like, even, okay. So, okay. As an ethnic, we do make fun. Like, just paint this picture for me because, like, it's another one I try to find pretty funny. In terms of food,
mm-hmm.
when you would sit down, like, would you guys have, like, the big, like, ethnic sort of spreads of food where everyone's dipping their hands into the middle to grab stuff and all that sort of thing? Is that part of what you guys had as well, or was it more just...
Nah.
This is such a neat question.
Nah, definitely not. Like,
everyone's got allocated 3 chops each.
Yeah, that green that's salad. Getting closer. Like, if you were having, like, Sunday roast, like, it might be a serve-yourself thing, but it's like, serve yourself over here, bring your plate over here. There's none of this hands into the middle going on. No, man. Did I mention how white my upbringing was, man? Like,
oh, my God. That's so funny. I just never even imagined looking, because, like, I'm Greek, but I can relate to a lot of elements of, like, the Italian mafia sort of family idea. I just realized how alien this stuff would look to you.
Like, I'm guessing you haven't been to, like, country Victoria very much, or, like, stayed in, like, little towns very often.
Look, I've passed through and I've stayed, but yeah, not extended stays. And yeah.
Like in Melbourne, when I lived there, you might go, what do you feel like tonight? Oh, I feel like Thai. Oh, I'm thinking Vietnamese. Or maybe, you know what, might get Korean. If you were in a town that had an Asian restaurant, it was an Asian restaurant. It wasn't one of the specifics. It was Asian. And they better be able to do everything from pad thai to beef and black bean to sweet and sour pork, because we don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Can I get some pad thai?
We're happy either way.
Can I get some pad thai with a side of sushi? And they'll just be like, of course you can, because this is an Asian restaurant and we know what you want.
And all Asians are the same. Yeah, so.
That's basically how country people treat Asian restaurants. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. It's like, I've often found that it is funny though, like when you do, because in Melbourne, a mate of mine loves talking about it. Whenever you see a specific, like especially Japanese restaurant, and it's got Asian people in there and everyone's like, this is fine. But like a lot of the time it's like Chinese people who have a Japanese restaurant, which isn't bad in any sense, but just the fact that like as white people, we're just like, ah, they're Asian. It's close enough.
The day after our wedding, my wife and I came to Bendigo because we were going to Melbourne the next day to go on our honeymoon. But we spent the night at my mum's place and we're like, what do you feel like for tea? And we wanted to go get dumplings. So I'm like, cool. All right. So we'll go to this dumpling spot in Bendigo. And as we get out of the car, she was a few steps in front of me and there was the dumpling shop right next to the fish and chip shop. And I saw this happening. I'm like, this is going to be so great, because there was white people running the dumpling shop and there was Asian people running the fish and chip shop. And I'm like, something very special is about to happen here. And I watched my wife walk into the fish and chip shop and ask for dumplings. I just stood out the front just laughing at her. It made me so happy. We've been married for 24 hours.
You've told some great stories about your wife, I've got to be honest. That is... just walks in and sees the Asian guy and orders a dumpling.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my God. I've got to be honest, this is a lot more incriminating than that sliding to the DM story you told at the start.
Oh, yeah, I should point out, I really love my wife. I think she's great. But, yeah, there's some funny stories.
That's hilarious. I tell you what. Yeah. It's great. Okay, well, look, we've kind of just jumped around to random topics rather than sticking to the Goodfellas sort of stuff, but the wise guy stuff. But I think we should probably close it off there.
Yep.
Before I finish, I guess you always ask this question. Do you feel like you've found any new connections with your book of choice?
Found any new connections? I think every time you read something, I find you just get something a little bit different out of it, because chances are you're not reading it like once a year. So you're just in a different point in your life and so you just interpret it differently. I mean, like I said, I've got a 2-year-old, so the way I watch a movie now versus 5 years ago, just a world apart. So like even something as simple as, I say simple, but like when he's going into witness protection and it's like he takes his family along, but it's say goodbye to everyone you know. You don't get to see the rest of your family. You got your wife and your 2 kids and no one else anymore. So I think scenes like that sort of hit you differently than they would have the first time. But yeah, short of that, I just love this book, but I don't connect to it on too deep a level, I guess.
No, I do find that interesting, that difference that happens with age, because yeah, you relate to different characters as well, or like the decisions made mean different things. So it's like, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're like, stuck with my wife and kids? I'll take prison.
I'd like to point out, I did not say that at any point.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm here for. I'm not the one with the wife and kids. I get to say that stuff. No, beautiful. Thanks a lot for that, Mike. That's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'll tie it off there. Yeah, cheers.
Pleasure was all mine, man. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.